good evening. Good to see you in God's house tonight. God bless you for being here. Looking forward to a great evening as we recognize Master Club and looking at the Word of God this evening. Let's take a hymn book, turn to page 611. 611, let's stand together and sing, He Hideth My Soul.
How wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. How wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. Rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. Covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
On the fourth,
when clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And our ushers have our prayer lists, and if you did not receive one of those, if you'd raise your hand and they'll be happy to serve you. I saw them going out throughout the auditorium and handing them out for those that did not receive one. And I had one a few moments ago, but evidently I laid mine down. So while I was walking around and everything. So if someone will bring me one, Brother Patrick, that'd be nice. That'd be great. Well, we have some good news to report. You know, we said that, thank you, sir. We said that Voices of Victory were going today to the Gaylord Palms for this music competition. Pastor set them up for this because every time that a group experiences this kind of judging and, you know, they improve, they get better, it sharpens them. They learn some things. And so he said, yeah, let's do that. And, of course, Pastor is out of town. He sent them on, and they sang without, you know, the director and all that kind of thing. Well, they competed in that, and they sang their songs. And the word I got right as I walked in was they did very well. In fact, they did so well that they received a superior rating, a number one superior rating. They did so magnificently well that they walked away with first place over all the other groups. That's our young people. Amen. It's God's young people. But, you know, they strive to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that God blesses them for it. I really do. And now if we can just make sure they don't get a big head, that would be good. You might encourage them. And I know that they're excited and kind of walking on air. A great experience for them. Great experience. So thank you so much for your prayers in that. They certainly want to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll hear more about all of that, I'm sure, on Sunday. Well, if you have a prayer list, I'd like to invite you to look at that with me. And we'll ask God's blessing as we look through these quickly. We're going to kind of move along more rapidly than usual, and because we have a lot to include in, and we want to recognize our Master Club children tonight. So we're praying for our president and all our government officials, praying for the peace of Israel, our missionaries serving the Middle East, and also for the upcoming elections. Susie Trentum's husband, Paul, has skin cancer. He'll be going to Shands next month on the 7th and then the 13th for surgery. And please pray about this. The cancer is in his eye and his eye area right there. And they're afraid that they might lose his eye. And we were with him last night. And so pray for Brother Paul, if you will. He knows the Lord. He's not here very faithfully at church, but he is saved, and so pray for him, if you will. Margot Cordes requests prayer for her brother Don, fluid around his heart. Mona Maples requests prayer for her sister-in-law, and she has stage 3 lung cancer, and the note says here that it's terminal. And do you realize that all of us are terminal? Every one of us are terminal. We just may not know the schedule. May not know the schedule, but each one of us have a terminal disease. It's called sin. It's called sin. And it's going to, if Jesus Christ doesn't come back beforehand, then it will take all of us. But pray much for this family, Mona Maples mentioned here. And Joan Flowers requests prayer for her niece, Lori, who's also been diagnosed with stage 3 esophageal cancer. And she has 2 young girls. And pray for their salvation. Larry Dilligard passed away. He's an electrician who worked on one of our buildings. Good friend of Brother Chuck Kent. And pray for him, if you will. We're continuing to pray for Dennis Stevens. Dennis Stevens and his family, as his father went home to be with the Lord. And we don't yet have the schedule for the service. And we'll let you know as soon as we get that. But pray for Brother Dennis, if you will, also. Eric Amote requests prayer for Mary Dowdy. Her son passed away. Walt and Millie Bishop are flying to Bermuda to assist her daughter, Barbie, in a very difficult custody battle. That's a long story, but pray much for God's wisdom and God's miraculous power there. Dave Peterson had knee replacement surgery on yesterday. We saw him today, and surgery went well, but he had a reaction. His heart rate went down, and they were very concerned there for a little bit. He's in the ICU, but he's doing much, much better. So continue to pray for his recovery. Pray for our teens going to camp this summer. And Evelyn Fink will be having shoulder surgery on July 9th. And praise the Lord, Lydia Buck's cancer numbers are down. And she's been going through a lot of treatments. And so pray much for her as she's recovering from that. Also, please pray for Hope's father, Jack Burnside. He'll be having a heart catheterization on Tuesday. So pray for him, chest pains, and they don't know what they're going to find there. And then this note came in from Lori Reeser to please pray for Sally Mulkey. This is Lori's sister, and she has been a picture of health. But she today just could not walk. She had no strength. They don't know exactly what's going on. And so pray for her, if you will. Sally Mulkey is her name. Marie Bowder also called to know that she's going back to the surgeon this afternoon. I haven't heard a result on that. And please continue to pray for her daughter, Tammy, that we mentioned. She had the chiropractor business, and she has lupus and has had to give up all of that, and pray for her, if you will. And then there's a list of names here. We're continuing to pray and ongoing prayers and missionaries that are listed here that we're focusing on, as well as the nursing home, folks that are shut-ins there, and these names on the armed forces. And so if you'll read over those and include those in our prayer time and ask God to work in their lives. Brother Don Shaw, would you come, please, and ask the Lord's blessing as we lift these requests to him? And as he leads in prayer, pick out 3 or 4 of these and take them to the throne of grace personally. I think that's the intent of leading in prayer, that we're to all pray together. And God can hear each one of us individually. individually. So God bless you, Brother Don. Lead us if you would.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight in this time that we've set aside as a prayer meeting as well as a midweek service, Lord, and help us to make it more of a prayer meeting. God, tonight, as we bring these requests before you, you've seen and heard each request. You know the hearts of each person involved. You know the anxieties. You know the fears. You know the peace and the calm. And I pray you just let your presence be known in every situation and the people in this church that know you and love you and that are having troubles. I pray you'll help us to turn to you when we're not needy, God. When we don't think we're needy, we're always needy. But God, when we think we're doing well, help us to look to you and ask your guidance and direction of our lives and help us to yield and obey that you'd have us to do. I pray for Brother Mark tonight to bring your word. I pray it'll be come across to us as it is, the word of God. Yes. Given from your heart to your man to us. I pray you'll bless it, break it, and feed us with it. And I thank you for it. Amen.
God bless you, sir. Thank you. Well, if you'll forgive us for speeding along, we do have impatient young people that are excited. They've worked all year long, and we're welcoming them, and we're going to turn things over to the Master Club Ministry. They meet on Sunday mornings during the junior church hour and after Sunday school, and they kind of merge the junior church and Master Club program, and it's good to have all of these young people here. Brother Joe Gibalisco is going to be the master of ceremonies this evening, I believe. So, Brother Joe, come on ahead, please. And if you will introduce each group and all these awards, we're glad to have you all here. God bless you.
Well, this is a very thrilling part for Super Church, where we have our Master Club component. And this is a time of the year where the children have worked so diligent week by week in doing things of earning badges by reading scripture, learning different parts of the Bible, which is a fundamental basis. We're trying to plant God's word in them at an early age. Because the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. When they get older, they're not going to depart from the way. So we have it as a privilege and a unique opportunity to meet with these kids week after week. We thank you, parents and grandparents, for bringing your children here so we can work with them. And we have three groups tonight we're going to recognize. The first one, we call them God's Little Shepherds, headed by Retta Adkins and Daniela Bartlett. Okay, sorry. The first award is going to be the Book Completion Award. This is where they completed their whole book. And we have a few that would hear. Okay, first we have Grayson Barker. Liam Bartlett. Now, I'll tell you, help us out if you applaud when all the names are called. It will speed things up. I know Brother Mark just said that you're speeding things up. We're going to do the same thing here. Then we have Jalen Justice, Isabella Phelan, Jasper Suits, and Joshua Taylor. Now, the second award that they're going to receive is that they've attended at least 24 weeks through this past year. And we have five that was awarded for that. We have Grayson Barker, Liam Bartlett, Jalen Justice, Isabella Phelan, and Jasper Suits, 24 weeks. And then there's a kindness award, and three children earned that one. That was Sarah Crow, Sophia Crow, and Isabella Phelan. Good job. And then we have a coloring award, and majority of them worked on that, and some are not here, but the ones that are here will get their award tonight. It's Grayson Barker, Liam Bartlett, Krista Breens, Jodiel Calderon, Sarah Crow, Sophia Crow, Hezekiah Foreman, Jalen Justice, Isabella Phelan, Jasper Suits, and Joshua Taylor. Great job. When you have that smile, isn't it just so adorable? And then Scripture Memory Medals. We have Grayson Barker, Liam Bartlett, Jalen Justice, Jasper Suits, and Joshua Taylor. Am I going too fast for you, Retta? Okay. So speed things up, you're saying? Uh-oh. And now we have special awards here. One is called the Most Improved Clubber. This little shepherd consistently improved in all areas this year. The most improved clubber is Joshua Taylor. Wow, that's right. You did a good job. Next is the Christian Testimony Medal. This little shepherd continually shows God's love and has a sweet testimony. The Christian Testimony Medal goes to Jasper Suits. Not here. At least it wasn't a perfect attendance award. That's good. And then the last one is the Clubber of the Year Medal. This little shepherd attended the most weeks, memorized all the verses, and wore his best faithfully. Our Clubber of the Year is Liam Bartlett. Thank you very much. The next group is the Primary Awards. And when I call your name, come up and stay up here. And Mr. Chris and maybe Mr. Mia will be handing awards. They're looking forward to the primary group. That's why I want to stay up here. Okay. All right. First is the badge completion. These children complete at least one badge in their book. For first grade was Hannah Floyd. Second grade was Loria Pfeiffer. And third grade was Miracle Stafford, Anthony Acevedo, Jacob Loring, Ivy Pruitt, Jacob Still, and Sophie Besser. Okay, the next award we recognize are children that have attended at least 36 weeks of Master's Club. First grade is Adeline Reynolds. Second grade is Calvin Barker and Addie Bartlett. And third grade is Anna Reynolds. Perfect attendance. This was a tough one because children get sick a lot. But they made it through here. This child never missed a single week of Master's Club. Micaiah Justice. And I'm glad she's here tonight. All right, uniform inspection. This child was faithful in wearing their vest every week. This is only awarded one time for primaries. For first grade, we have four winners. Hannah Floyd, Micaiah Justice, Adeline Reynolds, and David Suits. And second grade was Aloria Pfeiffer. Not here. Okay. Sunday school faithfulness. These children attended a minimum of 16 weeks of Sunday school. First grade is Micaiah Justice, Adeline Reynolds, and David Suits. Second grade, we had two winners, Calvin Barker and Addie Bartlett. And third grade was Sophie Besser and Anna Reynolds. Then we have a Most Improved Award, and that was given to Sophie Besser. Book completion. These children completed their entire booklet this year. For first grade, we had three winners, Micaiah Justice, Adeline Reynolds, and David Suits. Second grade was Calvin Barker and Addie Bartlett. And third grade was Anna Reynolds. Now, we have two other awards to give to this group here. One is Christian Testimony. These children displayed consistently an attitude that reflected the love of Christ. First grade, we have Evelyn Reynolds. Second grade was Jeremiah Williams. And third is Sophie Besser. Then Clubber of the Year. First grade was Micaiah Justice. Second grade, Addie Bartlett. And third grade was Anna Reynolds. And that finishes the primary. Good job, everybody. Okay, the next group, juniors or the ambassador program, provides club members with a wide variety of Bible study, Bible memory, mission emphasis, Christian service, and Christian living projects. Juniors, as your names are called, please come to the platform to receive your awards. And remain here until all the awards have been distributed. And again, hold your applause until it's all done here. The ambassador students work hard to earn badges. Most individual badges take from 3 to 5 weeks to complete, and some take a minimum of 8 weeks. So there's a lot of diligence involved in doing this. This year, our badge completion certificates go to many of the children here. Ruth Austin. Emily Baird. Sophie Bartlett. Elia Benitez. Carly Buhite. Shane Conklin, Sandro Dominguez, Spencer Donovan, Emma Dunn, Alicia Fraga, Lorna Floyd, Devin Gibson, Nevaeh Hilton, Mia Lambert, Brianna Pfeiffer, Seth Phelan, Alyssa Pratt, Abigail Reynolds, Rory Sturgill, Kayla Turner. Okay, that's all the awards for that one. Very good. Now, Master Club provides a framework for well-rounded and structured Christian growth. They earn crowns. A student must complete a series of 4 Bible badges, a missions for evangelism badge, a Christian service badge, a Christian living badge, and a series of 4 Bible study booklets, and at least 10 memory verses, which must be recited on at least 2 different Sundays, plus a life skills badge and a testimony or on sermon notes badges. So when we teach a lesson, they need to take notes. It's a good practice for when they come, they get older, and they sit in a service. You know, Matthew 23:10 said, "For one is your master, even Christ." That's kind of the theme there. And notice we didn't give any badges for a parrot badge. We teach them to know what the verse means, not just they just recite it and then they forget what it is. And, for example, we say, "For one is your master, even Christ." Say, "What is your master? What do you do? How do you serve a master?" And as we teach them that to they understand what that principle is, then as a teacher, then it reflects on you. Well, if Christ is my master, what do I do? Did I get up this morning, read my word, read the word of God, pray? If he's my master, I should take time to do that. Instead of as adults, he says, "Oh, we can just skip that." No, we are the example, and we need that for our own growth. And if we teach the children to do that, that should be part of our outflow of our own life. So this year, receiving the bronze crown, we have Emily Baird, Alicia Fraga, Lorna Floyd, Nevaeh Hilton, Seth Phelan, and Rory Sturgill.
Not here.
Okay, earning the silver crown, we have five winners: Sophie Bartlett, Carly Buchheit, Sandra Dominguez, Emma Dunn, and Abigail Reynolds. Okay, Master Club also offers opportunities to go above and beyond. Completing Bible Institute A, we have Ruth Austin. Completing Bible Institute B is Seth Phelan. And completing Mission Series is Ruth Austin. Now, our Christian Character Medal this year for consistently displaying a Christ-like spirit goes to two individuals, Lorna Floyd and Sandra Dominguez. Then we have the final award of our Clubber of the Year. This person came to the program as a new student, partway into our calendar year. She worked very hard, showed an excellent attitude and exemplary Christian character, and exceeded the requirements for earning the first year crown. This year's award goes to Alicia Fraga. Congratulations. Our last award recognizes the very outstanding accomplishments of a very outstanding clubber. The Master Club Achievement Award is awarded for exceptional effort and achievement, faithfulness, excellence, and badge completion, and Christian character. The recipient of this award has worked incredibly hard and completed close to 100 badges during her junior years in Master Club. Today, we're pleased to present the Master Club Outstanding Achievement Award certificate. An engraved plaque goes to, no drum roll, oh, Ruth Austin. And parents, thank you again for allowing us to work with your children Sunday after Sunday.
All of our workers, wait a moment. All of our workers that help in Master Club, would you please stand wherever you're at? If you might be over here, help. You know. Yes. Thank you all. God bless you. Well, this is an exciting time, and this is just the first part. In just a moment, they're going to slip on out, and they're going to continue their program on out there. They have, I think, a little celebration and a devotional for them while we're finishing up in here. So, moms and dads, you can meet them after service. So go ahead, young people, and let's take our hymn book and sing page 780. 780 as they're slipping out. Let's stand as we sing Until Then. 780. My heart can sing when I pause.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home.
Sing it now.
But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day. Day, God calls.
put your finger in there, and then shake hands one with another. We'll come back and sing it one more time. Fellowship one with another. Good to see you in God's house. Amen. Thank you so much. Good singing. I've put a couple of our young men on the spot. They were easy to spot because they still had their Voices of Victory outfits on. And so I've asked them on the spur of the moment just to share something that happened, something on their heart that happened as they sang today there in Orlando. So if you would, please, guys, come on ahead.
It was an amazing experience. Through the whole time, I was thinking, it's a competition, but it's not about, you know, the competition. It's about singing for the Lord. And that's what we did, and He gave us first place. So.
There you go.
Well, it was kind of encouraging seeing other teenagers doing the same thing we're doing, out there singing for the Lord. And some of them came up with their own music. And it was just real neat seeing all the other contestants. And we didn't really expect to win. We just showed up there, seeing all these other kids. We were like, oh, this is kind of hard. So, but yeah, winning really was encouraging and made us real happy about that. And we're just glad the Lord was blessed. And the judges said that we were a real blessing, and they were blessed by our music. So.
Wow. David. Okay. Thank you. Guys. Well, I know Pastor's excited. That's the word that I got. He's overjoyed and wonderful opportunity. Wonderful opportunity. Do we have any folks visiting here with us for the first time? Good to have some folks visiting that are back. Pastor Jeff Keffer, Denise, and Ann and Sarah. And good to have Doug and Kristen Smith. I have a hard time remembering Hope's name. For the longest time when we were dating in college, I didn't pull her name like I would like to. And I was close. I knew it was an H, you know. And so I would call her honey. And she thought that was so sweet. It's good to have them here with us. This is not their first time. Been here several times, but good to have them back. Anyone visiting with us? Yes. Amen. Good to have you all back. God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. Who else? Who else? Don't want to miss anyone. Just flag me down. All right. Ushers, come on down, please, if you will. We'll receive the Lord's offering tonight. And we're so thankful for all of the hard work of the folks in the Children's Music Academy on Thursday nights and then Master Club on Sunday mornings. These ministries to our children. And we're blessed. These kinds of things could not go on without diligent, faithful servants of God. And we appreciate you as moms and dads who bring your youngsters. And this is going to bear forth fruit in the years to come. Pastor Jeff Keffer, would you come, please? And I'd like to ask you to lead in prayer. Pastors Ripley Tabernacle Baptist Church. I'm familiar with that church. And doing a great work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Souls being saved. Every Sunday, God moves in mighty ways through this man's preaching, through the music. And I thank God for the youth and the children's ministries and all of that. They do the same thing we do here. And I'm so thankful for their work for the Lord Jesus. They do something we don't do. They do a lot of things we don't do. But one of the things is they have Journey Through Christmas in sub-freezing weather. I mean, you know, it's snow, sleet, rain. You know, every one of them is a post office worker, I guess. They don't let any weather hold them back. And but they've seen so many people saved, thousands come through. And I rejoice in every opportunity, door-to-door visitation, soul-winning, all of that. And we're thankful to have them here. Pastor Jeff, God bless you, sir. Please in prayer, if you would.
Everything in West Virginia is a challenge, but we learn from Pastor Mark. We learn from the best. And I consider him my pastor, and it is a blessing to be here. It's amazing when you can travel with your family across America and be at home with folks that you have something in common with, and that's the Lord. So we sure miss them, but I'm glad we have the friendship and are able to fellowship with them. I kid Miss Hope a lot. She's the sister I never had. And sisters have it rough, if you know. So usually I have a good time giving Miss Hope a hard time. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you, and it's been a joy to already be in this place. And even though we're many miles apart from our home, Lord, we feel right at home, and we're thankful for that. Thank you for the children and what's been accomplished already. Lord, use them in a mighty way for your service. The blessings of the singing group and the honor they received here on earth, that's exciting. We're thankful for that. But, Lord, more importantly, I know you're pleased. And, Lord, I pray that tonight in the offering, the special music, preaching, whatever takes place, Lord, I pray you would get the honor and the glory and that it would please you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, and thank you for those missionary pictures every time we take an offering. It reminds us of what our purpose is, and that's to get the gospel around the world. That's why we're here. We're not just here to win contests and things. That's some of those things along the way that God blesses us with. But the contest I want to win is the one of finishing the race that God has set before us. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. As you're turning there, received this a few moments ago. Really nice thank you card says, "Dear church family, thank you for the beautiful flowers, phone calls, emails, and especially your prayers for me during my recent surgery. Sincerely, Anita Williams." It's so good to have Anita back. God bless you. And then family can tell on one another. It says here that Alex Weiss is 45 years old today. Is that right? Wow. He has no gray hair either. It's all gone. Alex, God bless you, buddy. Good to see you and happy birthday. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We had some notes available for you on the way in, and I hope that you can... I gave this so that we can kind of keep up and keep together how to overcome fear and remain faithful. I was walking from the church office, the little house up here on the corner. I was walking from the church office down the sidewalk, and usually I'm on a mission. I just walk out the door, I'm headed somewhere, you know, and I'm just I drop my head and go, you know. And I went off like that one evening. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw something fly by at eyeball height. It was huge. It was an owl. And the owl didn't seem to mind me at all. I didn't seem to frighten the owl, but the owl scared the bejeebers out of me. And it flew by. It came down and flew by about eyeball level, and it was aiming for a target. And sure enough, I saw a pitiful little squirrel. And boy, that owl just had that squirrel in his crosshairs and grabbed it with his talons, you know, and picked. And I saw the look on that squirrel's face. It's like, oh, no. And it froze. I mean, it didn't move. It wasn't shaking. You know, I know that the owl did not kill it with that one grab. It must be that perhaps one of two things, either just built into his nature, if he acted like he was dead, maybe he thought he would get away. Some people have said that works with grizzly bears. I don't want to test it. But the other reason probably is because he was so stunned and so afraid that he was paralyzed. Fear has a way of paralyzing us from doing what God wants us to do and what God has called us to do in our life. If you are a Christian, we are called to do things for the Lord. You say, well, I've not been called to be a missionary. We have all been called to give the gospel to a lost and dying world. Every last one of us. If we are saved, God placed us here for a reason. And by the way, if you're in our church, God has put you here for a reason too. And in time, I believe that God will reveal that to you, some things that you can do. I started attending a church when I came back from a summer ministry. And I was in Bible college, and I walked up to the pastor where my family had joined. And I joined the church my first Sunday there because it was a new church that our family had begun attending and joined in my absence. And that was our home church. And so I came forward the first Sunday, you know, I wanted to join. And I told the pastor that after the morning service, I shook his hand and I said, it's a joy to be here, Brother Esslinger. I said, now, I want to do something for the Lord, whatever it is you want me to do. If you need me to clean the bathrooms, I'll clean the bathrooms. If you want me to vacuum the floor, if you want me to take out trash, if you want me to help in some capacity in teaching one day or something, you know, you just let me know. I just want to serve. I'm available. I'm nothing special. I just want to do something for God. In a few weeks, there became a need to help teach the intermediate boys, the fifth and sixth grade boys. And I had that wonderful privilege of teaching fifth and sixth grade boys. If you haven't done that, that's a wonderful thing. But just saying, I want to do something for you, Lord. I don't want to just take up space. I want to do something. And Timothy, here in this passage, he was a disciple of the Apostle Paul, you might say. The Apostle Paul was his mentor, and he discipled him for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he has passed on the mantle of leadership to this church at Ephesus, to this young man who is now probably in his mid-30s. And in any church, you know, there's challenges, there's responsibilities and all of that. In every one of our life, there's adventures, there's challenges that will test our mettle. The Bible says that the devil is like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. I saw this picture. It was amazing to me. There were some folks that grabbed this picture, a herd of buffalo chasing off a lion. They did not like having this lion in the grass near their herd. And so they gathered. You can see a bunch of them in the distance back there. But there was a bunch of them that they teamed up and they just ran them off. And this king of the jungle, you might say, looks kind of like a fraidy cat right there. It's about time that you and I as Christians, that we understand who the Almighty One is. He is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't make us do anything. We choose to either obey God or follow the flesh. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 is the beginning of a passage that I hope will help rekindle some things in all of our hearts and all of our lives. I'm asking that God will speak to us tonight. Verse 3, the Bible says, I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of, read it with me, of power and of love and of a sound mind. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take your precious word and minister to our hearts. There may be someone here who used to witness and used to hand out gospel tracts. Maybe someone here who used to serve you in some capacity in another church. Might be someone here who used to minister in music or used to study your word in a more fervent way. Used to have a more vibrant prayer life. But for one reason or another, the flame of that passion has died down. I ask you now that you would put a new log upon that fire. Lord, stir us up. Lord, as you did for Timothy of old, use us in a new and a fresh way. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. How to overcome fear and remain faithful. Sin brings fear. It does. Sin does. And so I encourage you, if you don't hear anything else, nothing that we're going to go over tonight from this passage is going to be effective if we short-circuit the power of God with known sin in our life. If we confess our sins, though, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't let Satan, please don't let Satan tell you, now you just failed in that just yesterday. Last week you did the very same thing. How dare you go back to God and say, please forgive me for this again. Remember that the Apostle Paul penned in Romans, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, there's no excuse and no license for sin, but I thank God there is forgiveness. So I encourage you that make sure that you get that before we go any further. If we're going to overcome fear and remain faithful, we're going to have to do it by reassuring one another. Reassuring one another. Would you look at verse 3 right here in our text? The Bible says, I thank God whom I serve my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Reassuring one another. He's thanking God. He has a heart of gratitude. That goes in that first blank. A heart of gratitude. Gratitude. I am thankful for you. Isn't it wonderful when someone comes up to you and says, I thank God for you. You're a blessing to my heart. I'm thankful for what you do for God. It encourages me. The Apostle Paul knew that here he is in a jail cell, in a prison there in Rome, awaiting his death sentence. And he's saying, I thank God for you, Timothy. I thank God for what God's doing in your heart and your life. If we're going to overcome fear and remain faithful, it sure does help to have someone say, I appreciate you. Thank you for what you do. He says also in verse 3, he talks about his faithfulness. He says, I am praying for you. Verse 3, whom I serve my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Pray for people. Pray consistently. Intercede. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing. Faithfulness. I am praying for you night and day, night and day. In my morning prayers, in my evening prayers, I remember to pray for you. I mentioned in Sunday school what a blessing it is to sense that someone is praying for you. I can't explain how that feels. I can't tell you, you know, it's just something that as a pastor, sometimes I just sense someone's praying for you. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit of God letting me know that someone is praying for me. Do you pray for your children night and day? Do you pray for your family, your marriage, night and day? Faithfully. Faithfulness. If we're going to overcome fear and remain faithful, we're going to have gratitude and faithfulness. And then look at verse 4. We see fellowship, greatly desiring to see thee. Said, I'm about ready to finish my course, but I would love to spend time with you. The problem about coming to a church where there's a lot of people who gather together is sometimes you can get lost in the crowd. It can happen in a small church because of cliques. You know, you can have someone sit down in a small church. You can have someone sit down in a big church. And everybody is shaking hands with everybody. But perhaps you don't know Scott Phelan's name. You know, perhaps you just go up and do what I say. I say, hi, my name is Mark Sears. I'm sorry. Would you tell me your name, Felix? You know, I met the Froggers here just a little bit ago. And I just owned up to it. They've been coming for a while, but I never had really had a chance to really meet them. Just introduce yourself and ask their name. It's just the social thing to do. It's the friendly thing to do. And he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Fellowship. You know, a body of believers. There are people here from time to time that want to quit. Oh, no, that wouldn't happen here. It happened to Elijah. Elijah said, I quit, God. I've never called down fire from heaven. I've never asked God to hold back the rain for 3.5 years and it didn't rain. I've never been fed by ravens along a brook, you know, airmail. I've never had those kinds of miracles happen in my life. Never seen God's power demonstrated in such powerful ways. But yet, Elijah said, I quit. God set his feet upon a rock, and that's a whole nother message. But he is one of the only two men that did not have to face death. He was carried by the chariot in a fire into heaven. So obviously, that was not an unpardonable type of an event in his life. Fellowship. I want to spend time with you. Do you enjoy spending time with God's family? I hope you do. The Apostle Paul said, I want to be with you. Greatly desire to see you. Look at verse 4 again. Being mindful of thy tears. You know what that word empathy means? I understand what you're going through. I hurt with you. Being mindful of thy tears. I don't think it's because Timothy necessarily just missed the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul missed Timothy. I don't think it's just that. Have you ever tried to do something for God? And if it's truly for God and God has his hand on it, you're going to receive pushback from the world. You're going to receive attack from Satan. Resistance. And sometimes it's going to happen from God's people. It's going to break your heart. And he knows what it's like. The Apostle Paul knew what it's like to lead a group of people that were struggling to walk with Jesus Christ. That were fighting a battle to get out of the world and get into the leadership of the Spirit of God in their heart and their life. And they haven't gotten this thing of the spiritual walk yet. And so there's enough of the world in them that they can be a real pistol. He said, I'm mindful of thy tears. I know that your heart is breaking at times. If you want to be faithful and overcome fear, you got to do it by reassuring one another. And the blessing, look at the end of verse 4, that I may be filled with joy. He's saying, Timothy, you're a blessing to me. What you're doing is touching my heart. You're encouraging me. I don't know about you, but when I see from up here, you may not see it as much. But I see our ushers. And when someone walks in the doors of our church, by the way, you know the first seats that get filled in most any church? The back. If we charged for seats, we could charge double for the back rows. We really could. And so when someone walks in, all the back rows are filled. And the most embarrassing thing a person could ever do is to try to walk in front of a bunch of people while a service is going on. They're all seated. They don't know anybody. They're visitors and guests. And they're walking down the, and they see four seats open. And they get down there where they can, you know, get in there. And they look and there's Bible purse, hymn book, Bible. Choir members got their seats saved. Now they don't know what to do. They're halfway down the aisle. They're embarrassed to tears. And probably in their heart and their mind, they're thinking, if I can find a way out of here, I'll never come back. I'm so embarrassed. But you know what our ushers do? As much as possible, I see them do this. Someone walks in, they shake their hand. Boy, good to see you. Hold on right here. Let me find a seat for you. And they go down. They embarrass themselves. Of course, it's their home. They walk down and they find their seats and they motion the other usher and they say, right down here, right down here. Boy, that's good. Boy, that's a blessing. You say, ushers, oh, they just take the offering. No, 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 no. That's one of the many things that they can do to be a blessing to people. And we could say the same thing about nursery workers. Say the same thing about Sunday school teachers and all the master club and the CMA and on and on and on. Choir and all that. It says, you're a blessing to me. Let folks know they're a blessing. That's what the Apostle Paul did. If you're going to overcome fear and remain faithful, you need to do it by reassuring one another. Number two. If we're going to remain faithful, we're going to do it by remembering what Jesus has done in our life. What Jesus has done for us. Look at verse 5, please. The Bible says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, the genuine faith. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He said, this is authentic. This is the real deal. You're truly a follower of Jesus Christ. You don't put on a facade. You're not a plastic Christian. You have the power of God upon your life. Timothy, God has a plan for you. Every young person that's in here, we don't have the teen service going on. We've got our teenagers scattered here, there, and yon in here, and we're glad to have you here. If you are under 18 years old, you might think, wow, if I can just make it through high school, I'll have life licked. Got news for you. After high school, life has a way of licking you. If you're not careful, you'll think that you've grabbed life by the tail and you'll meet the business end in just a moment. Please understand that you need Jesus Christ to be at the driver's seat of your heart. He said to Timothy, he said, you have unfeigned faith. It is the real thing. If you don't know for sure, if you took your last breath right here, right now, if you don't know for certain, based upon the promises of God, that your next breath will be in heaven, you are gambling with an eternity that you cannot win. Please settle that. I was sitting in a youth rally. It was on a Saturday night in Cleveland, Ohio. I was sitting there, and we had maybe 10, 11 churches that were represented. I was 8th grade at the time. And I saw the pastor come in. And he sent the youth pastor to come down and get this young lady. She was a good girl. It was toward the end of the service. So the youth pastor came down and got this young lady out of our youth group from out of our church. And I was seated like over here, so I had a vantage point back through the windows into the hallway in the vestibule. The youth pastor and pastor took her out into the hall out there. And I did not know what had happened. I did not know what he was telling her. But I saw her do something like this. And I knew it wasn't good news. Well, later on, right before we dismissed, the youth pastor got up to close the meeting. He made the announcement. The announcement was that his 16-year-old brother, who had been out hunting that evening with friends, He attended our church, was in the youth group. They were climbing over a fence. And as he climbed over the fence, he was holding the fence, and a guy took his shotgun, and he leaned it against the fence post. And when he did, somehow, some way, it went off. And her brother went out into eternity that quickly. Young people, I know that we think that we're going to live forever, but please make sure, make certain that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and that heaven is your home. The Apostle Paul said, I see the signs in your life. I see the fruit. I see the results of Jesus coming out in you. And it's not fake. It's not put on. It's real. May that be your heart. And then, not just a genuine faith, but he was remembering what Jesus had done and giving a godly family. Verse 5 says, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. In chapter 3 Second Timothy, chapter 3, it talks about how that as a child he was taught the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise into salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Moms, dads, that's why it is vitally important that you set aside things that are of lesser degree and say, I'm going to sacrifice to make sure that my child has every opportunity spiritually for God to get in charge of their little heart. It's easier when the hearts are pliable. It's easier when the hearts are tender. It's harder if you try to start when they're a teenager. And it's almost impossible when they're in their 20s. By remembering what Jesus did, you can overcome fear and remain faithful. Number 3, hurriedly. How do we overcome fear and remain faithful? By rekindling the gifts of God. Look at verse 6. The Bible says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. He said, remember when we said, okay, we're going to give you this responsibility. We've been led by God that this is what God wants you to do. And we agree about that. Say, do you remember that? I want to stir you up. When we have our men and boys camp out, we've had it over at Tom Taylor's property usually. And we'll continue to have that bonfire going on. Sometimes I wonder, you know, because sometimes I think we're not supposed to have a bonfire. But we've never been arrested, and we thank God for that. It's on private property and all those kinds of things. But you know, about 11:30, 12 o'clock midnight, 12:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere, you know, I go as far as I can go, and I say, I'll leave it with you guys. And I'll wake up about 5:30 in the morning, you know, the birds going, all that kind of thing, and the sun's starting to come up, and I'll peek, unzip the tent and look, and I'll see a few hardcore guys that are still there wrapped up, and that fire is still going. May I tell you, I've gone over there and asked, and they said, oh yeah, we had to keep it going. We had to keep stirring it up. We had to keep putting on fuel. In the Christian life, time has a way of dimming down the flame of passion for serving Jesus Christ. The world has a way of cooling us down. And we have to refuel. We have to rekindle. He said, stir up what God is doing in your heart and your life. If you used to sing in the choir, guess what? At one time, at some time, you're going to get tired of it. If you teach Sunday school, or if you help in junior church, or if you're an usher, or if you go out on visitation or something, there'll come a time that you'll not want to do that anymore. You think, well, it's time for me to just take a step on back. I used to help in the nursery, but you know, other people can do it now. And I'll just step on back. I'm just cooling off for God. That's a dangerous place to be, folks. And Satan will have a foothold. And fear will enter in. And that boldness will leave. So how do you rekindle? I'm going to give you, if you don't mind, just four little thoughts. And then we'll go to our last point. We'll be done. Stay strong in your walk with God. Stay strong in your walk with God. Ephesians 6:10 says this. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in your walk with God. You heard Brother Joe mention it just a few moments ago. How do you get your walk with God strong? Walk with Him consistently. Consistently. In His Word. In prayer. We must hurry. Letter B. Stay spiritual in your worship. Stay spiritual in your worship. As you're walking with God, say, Lord, now I want to serve You. I want to worship You. As you come into the church service, talk to the Lord. And say, Lord, help something that's sung ring in my heart and help me this week. Help something that we study from Your Word touch me in a very special way. I want to hear from You, Lord. If you're not careful, if all we want to end up doing is hear from the pastor and hear from the singers and hear from the testimonies, and albeit it's probably good, hopefully. Hopefully people are coming trying to offer their best to the Lord. We're not here to put a show on. But as we offer our best for the Lord, it's going to be enjoyable. Don't you remember in the Old Testament how that the children of Israel, they had a reputation that their songs that they sang, all the singers that were trained and the instrumentalists, they had an orchestra that put our orchestra to shame. They had a choir that put the Mormon Tabernacle choir to shame. That's why the Babylonians, they said, hey, sing us a song. We've heard about your song. They said, how can we sing in a foreign land under God's judgment and the justice of God for our sins? We've hanged our harps. We have no song. But they wanted to hear because they had a reputation. And no doubt our church has a reputation. We have young people that now have a reputation amongst a whole new group of people. What were those people called? Voices of what? Voices of victory, victory, victory. Voices of victory. Wow, what a name. That's odd. Never heard of them. Where are they from? Volusia County Baptist Church. Wow, where is that? Orange City, I think. We ought to try that out and see. Folks, listen, please. If all we're doing is going through the motions and having a performance and attending a show, church is going to be shallow and empty. We better have spiritual worship following the Lord. Letter C, study the Word. Stay studying in the Word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Not just read, not just memorize, but meditate and study. Letter D, stay steady in your work. What God has put in your hand, be faithful and steady at it. This is not a time to quit, folks. This is a time to sign up. Our world is under a transition at this time. It's a time for Christians to show up. Not just at the voting booth, but also at the prayer booth. It's time for Christians to show up. Show up for their duties. And then if we're going to overcome fear and remain faithful, we need to not just be reassuring and remembering, rekindling, but relying on God's strength. Look at verse 7 as we close. The Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Letter A, power. Moving boldly in God's will. You know why most of the time Christians don't move boldly? It's because we don't get the direction of God and we don't have the assurance that we're in His will. But if we are doing something in His will, we can go with holy boldness. Power, relying on God's strength. Don't rely on yours. I pray before every message, not as some kind of ceremony. I pray publicly because I have prayed privately, imploring and asking the Holy Spirit to empower me to present His holy word in a way that glorifies Jesus Christ and will help believers. It doesn't matter what God has put in our hands. We need to say, Lord, as I make this visit, help me to have your words. Help me to be an encouragement. And help me, Lord, if they don't know Jesus as their Savior, to point them to them, to Jesus. Power, love, the Bible says. God's given the spirit of love. Committing to do what is best. As a mom and dad, oftentimes we have not done what was popular because we knew what we needed to do that would be best for our children. And in our personal lives, in our ministry lives, we need to say, Lord, I want to be bold, following your will, and be committed to doing what is best. Not just telling someone what they want to hear, but saying, Lord, I want you to direct me, and in love speaking the truth, in love. And let her see, the Bible says he's given us a spirit of fear, not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind, resting on God's peace in your heart. Great peace have they, which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you have God's peace, walking in God's will, resting on his power, there's nothing that can stop you as a Christian. So what do we need to do? What do we need to do? We need to be an encourager. Be an encourager. You might be one of these that this message is not for right now. You know why? Because you're not wanting to quit. You are faithful. After all, you're here on Thursday nights. Now, I know some are here especially to see the awards, and we're glad you're here. But look around on Sunday and ask God, Lord, is there someone here that I can be an encouragement to? You might be the newest member. We have some of our newest members here, the Longs, right back here. You might be someone who's been here since day one. But why don't you just say, Lord, I want you to use me in your family to be an encourager. Second, why don't you do this? Be mindful of the past. Remember what God has done in the past for you. It'll help you. And then be active in the present. Please, don't stay in the past. Please don't say, well, I can't do things like I used to. And pastor's always asking folks to go knocking on doors. And I just can't walk like I used to. Why don't you come up to pastor? Why don't you come up to me and say, is there something that I could do? We have an opportunity starting up in just a few weeks. We're going to go out on a Saturday, and we need a luncheon provided. And we're going to go visiting absentees and door to door. And we're going to have a buffet of visitation from 10 to 12. Second Saturday in June. You say, I wish, God knows my heart, I wish that I could go door to door. I need knee surgery. I can't do it. But I could drive somebody perhaps, or, you know, I could perhaps help with the food, or I could help with the babysitting, or some other way so that someone else can do. What can I do? There's something I believe that God can do through each and every one of us. Be active in the present. And then last but not least, be reliant on the Spirit of God. Rely on God's Holy Spirit. Live a spiritual life, Spirit-led. And that's why all of that goes out the window if we embrace active sin in our heart. Because the Holy Spirit says, if you want to do that, then I can't have any part in that. So, remember that outside the tabernacle and outside the temple, there was a laver out there. It held water. And the priests, before they served, had to wash. And they had to cleanse. And why don't we follow that picture, that example, in our daily life and keep short accounts and stay clean with God so he can use us. Let's stand together, please. Good to see you tonight. And I do trust that God will use his precious word. The Apostle Paul and Timothy, great, 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 great lessons from God's holy word. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray. And Lord, help us to walk with you anew and afresh, committed and Lord, surrendered and filled with your spirit. We love you. Thank you for these young people. Thank you for the word of God they've hidden in their hearts. I ask you, God, that it would bring forth fruit for the rest of their lives. Lord, bless every home and every parent. Grant them wisdom as they lead these little hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you, folks. Good to have you here tonight. We'll see you on Sunday.